hopefully always will be. With that, I'll turn this over to Ray.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name's Ray. I'm an alcoholic. I have no idea what I'm going to say today, and I know that's the way it's supposed to be. I hope I don't disappoint you all or Bob for asking me Wednesday night. I guess things happen for a reason, and I hope the reason is for the good of all of us, especially me. First of all, I used to always think that it was... Hi, Buzz. Gene. Didn't see you sneak in. I thought it was kind of something that a lot of people said when they get up here. I've heard a lot of times where this doesn't get any easier, you know, and I thought to myself quite a while, I mean, often since I've been in a program, that how can it not be any easier? Because the longer you do something, the easier it would have to get, but I can see now that... it does still become a hard thing to do, but I'll do the best I can. I have to admit, I am nervous for some reason all of a sudden. It's kind of ironic, too, before I start whatever I'm supposed to say, and I'll leave that up to God. But initially, it's just kind of ironic because here we are in a country music setting, you know, and I think that's one of the things that kind of progressed my alcoholism and got me to these rooms a lot quicker is because I really enjoyed country western music and talk about, you know, priorities. These are the priorities now. Well, before, as long as I had country western music, alcohol, and cigarettes, I could go on forever and ever and ever, you know, until one of the three or all three of them just were no longer available. And right now, and I don't want to get anybody nervous or anything like that, but nowadays, as long as the coffee's there and I have plenty of cigarettes, I can go on talking for hours and hours. But I assure you that won't happen today, not at the meeting anyways. I think I said that my name's Ray. I'm an alcoholic, and I think at the beginning for me is the beginning of my alcoholism, because I feel now that a lot of my character defects, a lot of my shortcomings, and a lot of my personality was created when I was in my youth. And that initially started after I was about, I think, 3 years old. My parents divorced, and I don't know if they divorced because of me or not. I might have been a mistake, I'm not sure, but I spent the rest of my childhood growing up in a broken home. Both my mother and my father, I was the original product of that marriage. But when they broke up, they divorced naturally and remarried and started their own families all over again. And I spent all of my childhood just bouncing back and forth a few years with one parent and their new family. And then after they got tired of me or whatever, then I would go to the other parent. They would pawn me off to the other parent, and I'd spend a few years with them. And as a result of that, I never really felt loved. I always felt, and I hear this a lot from these podiums, that a lot of us felt like we were alone, you know, and that we weren't loved, and that we were different, and that there was something wrong with us. And all of those feelings are things that I felt. I was no different in that respect. Of course, if I was drinking, I'd just put it out on the floor. But, so anyways, that's the way I grew up. And I always resented my parents for getting a divorce. Although I didn't think it was... a conscious thing, but subconsciously I know now that I did, because I didn't think that parents should do that to their children, you know, because it just made me inferior in every way. And I never thought it would happen to me either, you know. I thought that was the worst thing that you could bestow on your children, is to get a divorce. But it happens, I found out. And so anyways, Alcohol didn't really play a part in my growing up years, up until the time I left home anyways. You know, I still hadn't grown up even after I left home. But after I got out of, I graduated from high school. I grew up in Erie, and on the west side, I guess I should tell you that between my parents and my step-parents, I have four half-brothers and two half-sisters. Graduated from high school, no problem with alcohol. In fact, I guess I should tell you that my father had a drinking problem. In fact, I'm sure that's what killed him at the age of 58. He was sick for about the last 5 years of his life. He had about two-thirds of his stomach taken out, and I don't know what all else was wrong with him, but I know that he was the type of person that I would become like, even though I never thought I would or could, because when I was living in his house, I hated the smell of alcohol, beer. He was primarily a beer drinker. But I can remember times when we were growing up, you know, my father liked his alcohol so much, I can remember him, you know, getting sick to his stomach, throwing up, and then just rinsing his mouth out with a beer and starting all over again, you know. And I just thought that was so sick back then, and eventually I would end up being almost that bad, or at least that bad. But anyways, alcohol wasn't a problem through high school and in my school years. Graduated, I went into the Navy as soon as I got out of high school. I think that's probably where some of my drinking originated, as far as being an active drinker. I don't think I was an alcoholic then, as far as having a problem with it, although I know I didn't disappoint a lot of people, especially in the Navy, because I could keep up the tradition of the sailors, you know, and I could fit in very easily, I guess, once I got started. And that was my problem all through my drinking, is that I really didn't think that I had a problem with it until I started drinking, and then it did become a problem. I guess that's the type of drinker I was for the most part. I was a binge drinker. I went in spurts, but once I got a taste of alcohol and I found out what it did for me, it removed a lot of those inferiorities and those feelings that most of us had when we were younger, and it made me feel like I fit in. And we hear that a lot of from these podiums, and it's true. And it gave me strength, it gave me courage. I could, even though I didn't know how to dance, I could dance. I could do most anything as long as I was fortified, I guess, you know. And in the Navy, again, to get back to the Navy, that was just another, I guess, stepping stone to get me to where I am today, you know. And I spent 2 years in the Navy on active duty. I was on a ship most of those times. Out of Boston, I was on the USS Boston. Got discharged, I didn't get any real problems. In school, in my youth, and I said this at the last lead, that one of the reasons I feel that I didn't get in any problems with the law when I was younger is because I remember my dad saying to me that if I ever did end up getting in trouble and went to jail, that I would, he would leave me there. I wouldn't expect to be bailed out or helped in any respect. I'd basically pay my dues for whatever I did. So I always remembered that. And so anyways, where am I going here? After the Navy, I started dating a girl who became my first wife. She became pregnant, and back then that was the right thing to do, was get married and be responsible, you know. So I guess for the first, let's say, 15 years of my married life, I was responsible in the respect that I had a steady job. I always paid the bills, always had a roof over our head and provided food on the table. But beyond that, that was about it, I guess. I wasn't into the family thing because it wasn't what I wanted or what I had planned on, you know. It just happened, and I guess I had to pay again my dues for what I had done. So I stayed married to that lady, the mother of my three children, and that's all I have is three children, two girls and a boy. And stayed married to her for about 20 years. But when the kids became old enough that they were graduating from high school, I decided that I didn't want to be married anymore. And I thought there was more to life than just being married and being responsible and having all these problems or headaches. And, you know, I just wanted to, I guess, sow my wild oats, which I didn't have an opportunity to do after I got out of the Navy. So, anyways, I decided to try a trial separation with my first wife. And for one summer, I rented a cottage down in North Springfield at Virginia's Beach. And I had a boat at the time. I had all the toys, just like most of us did. I had taken my boat down at Virginia's Beach. I had a motorcycle at the time, took that down, and I decided to spend the summer down there and basically do my own thing and hopefully have the life that I never thought that I had and that I needed as a young adult. Well, I did that for a summer, and I really didn't enjoy myself. And we had some parties down there. I don't know, it just didn't work out. I wasn't really happy, and in fact, for a lot of my life, I guess most of my life, I wasn't happy. I was always searching like a lot of us are, and I just couldn't fill that void. I couldn't, you know, all the material things, all the toys. I always had a good job. I always had what I wanted. I always had money in my pocket, and that was the other thing. We all know that us alcoholics are always... have always been self-centered and selfish, and that's the way I was too. Even though I fulfilled my family responsibilities, I still, Ray always came first. I always got what I wanted, bought what I wanted, did what I wanted, went where I wanted, came home when I wanted, did what I did with whomever I wanted, and if that meant other females, that was a part of it too. So I'm not any different than a lot of yous out there, and that's no excuse, naturally, but all those things that are very characteristic of us alcoholics were definitely in my life. And so anyways, I tried that summer of trial separation. It really wasn't all that much fun, I found out, but I wasn't really ready to start all over again or make a go of it back with my first wife, although I did go back for the winter. And before I went back, I had met a girl, and I started seeing her and still living with my first wife. Needless to say, she wasn't too happy about that, and she kind of like... didn't make it very easy for me to do my own thing and still live with her, you know. So it became pretty unpleasant, and I felt, I was starting to feel real guilty about my behavior, and yet, I wasn't ready to change it or chuck it all in. So, I guess that spring I started looking for another place to live, and I bought a house in Fairview where I'm at now. So, when I bought the house, I decided to leave my wife. I thought for good, but we didn't get a divorce right away. So I started living the bachelor life, you know. Started doing again whatever I wanted to do, which I did right along anyway, so that wasn't any different. I still maintained my job, even though over the years, I did work there, as a matter of fact, for almost 30 years, and I gave that job up about 3 years ago, and I was sober at the time that I did that, so I was happy about that anyways, and I did make a major decision there. Because I had thought for many, many years, if I ever lost my job, that would be the most devastating thing that ever happened to me. Well, I found out that later in life that wouldn't be the most devastating thing that ever could happen to me. And I'm still finding out that I don't know that I have found the most devastating thing, but I don't care to keep looking for it either, you know. So anyways, I'm going to light up a cigarette. I bought my house in Fairview, and I carried on with the bachelor life and still going to work every day. A lot of times I shouldn't have been there because I was hungover from the night before. I was just doing whatever Ray wanted to do. And I totally disregarded, for the most part, my first wife and the kids as far as being a father and a husband, because I really didn't plan on being a father. And as a result of becoming a father, I became a husband. So I never put it that way before, but I guess that's two of the reasons why I resented it in the beginning, you know, initially. So I have to say, without getting into a long-winded thing, that since I left my first wife up until the last several months, my life really hasn't been all what I had thought it might be, you know. My drinking did progress to the point that I started at one time getting an ulcer. Thank God I found out about it early enough, and I laid off the alcohol for a few months, and that cleared up. I never, thank God, up until now, up until this day, I never really got any serious trouble. I had a couple accidents that were alcohol-related. I was, only by the grace of God, I never hurt anybody or myself. No DUIs, no jail time. A lot of those nevers are still out there waiting for me, and I know that today. I had a relationship with that girl I was telling you about. She moved in with me for a couple years, and that was nothing but a nightmare. I'm not blaming her or myself. It was a combination of both of us, I guess. And so that ended up, that relationship ended up where she had left me for the last time after numerous times. She would leave and come back, leave and come back, and leave and come back. And I know I hear that a lot from these podiums too, as far as marriages or relationships go. And that one was never meant to be the way I see it now. But again, nothing ever seemed to get better, and nothing seemed to work. I tried everything, you know. Years ago I tried AA. It was suggested, and I try anything, you know. I tried, like I said, at random. I went to AA meetings maybe 10 years ago because I knew that I had a problem, and I wasn't sure what it was. I didn't blame it on the alcohol, except the only time I could blame it on the alcohol is when I drank too much, because I didn't feel that I necessarily had a drinking problem. I just had a problem when I drank, and I didn't realize until I came in these rooms, and I guess maybe the fog started to lift a little bit, that there really isn't any difference, you know. And so I'll make a long story short. That relationship severed, and then I met my second wife, who I'm divorced from now, just recently, this past year. Actually, this past winter. And I don't want to really go into that too much either, except that was just a repeat of the relationship that I had with the previous girlfriend. Even though it was a marriage, it was a marriage that apparently wasn't meant to be, because it was nothing but moving in and moving out, moving in, moving out, arguments, fights. Thank goodness most of them were verbal fights, but still, it doesn't make any difference. They were still very, very hurtful, and I realize that now. The more I learn about my disease, and the more I learn in these rooms how destructive this disease of alcoholism can be, whether you call it a drinking problem or a problem when you drink. Before I go any further, I did this at the last lead that I gave at the Tuesday night anniversary picnic, Gerard Men's Group, and I want to thank everybody, first of all, Bob, for asking me to lead for you people today. I know it's good for me, and I hope I can help somebody out there too by what I'm probably going to say next. But It's really an honor for me to be doing something like this, especially something this important, I feel. You know, it's a special occasion for the drop-in center, a special occasion for all the people in A, and it's a very, very special occasion for me, and I'd like to thank everybody. One thing that comes to my mind that's kind of a little bit humorous right now, I think, maybe it isn't so, but the last time that I led at the drop-in center last winter, the very next day I had a slip. And I thought after 19 months in the program that I was doing everything that was suggested. I thought I had a good program. I was leading. I was chairing. I was doing as much as I could, so I thought. And I was really on an AA high after a little over 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, in April, I had ended up at Serenity. Because that was the second to the last time my wife at the time had left me. And I took it very, very hard, like I did every time the previous girlfriend and also the second wife. Every time they had left me, I used that as an excuse to go out and beat myself up, and I did a real good job of it each time. In fact, I'm surprised that I survived the last 10 years because that's what I did severely. I beat myself up with alcohol over the last 10 years. And only by the grace of God that I'm able to stand up here today and say this, say all of this. But again, to get back to this kind of a little bit of humor involved here, that I hope this, I was thinking while the preliminary of the meeting was going on, that maybe somebody should lock me up tomorrow, you know, to make sure that the same thing doesn't repeat as far as me leading at the drop-in center and the very next day having a slip, you know. And I wanted to say that because at the time, like I said, I thought my program was going good. I had 19 months in the program. I was doing everything I thought I possibly could do. And yet, even the day that I had my slip, like I said, I led out here in Springfield the day before. I was feeling great. I didn't think that anything like having a slip could happen to me, especially the very next day when it did happen. But it happened, and I'd like to, you know, think that it was somebody else's fault, like it was all the other times, all the other years before. But I realize now that it was something that had to happen. And I don't use it now. Initially, I did as a negative thing, but I really feel now that it was a positive thing, because two things come to my mind right now is that I wasn't very honest. I wasn't very honest in the respect that everything that I did for the previous girlfriend and the wife, the second wife, I did for them. I started going to church years ago. I started, like I said, attending random AA meetings years ago. I started doing a lot of things that were good for me or should have been good for me in a relationship, but I was doing them for the wrong reasons, and I realize that now. And I guess I had to come to this point where I was totally, as far as I was concerned, bankrupt in the respect that there was nobody else left to do all these things for except for Ray. And finally, I feel that I've surrendered completely. And now I do have a very good relationship, I feel, with my God. I've become very, very honest and sincere about that. I've become very, very honest and sincere about the program. You people, these rooms, Alcoholics Anonymous is my life now. And I have to say, in spite of what happened last winter, I'm glad that it happened now, because I realize now how much growth and how much positive has come out of all of this. Instead of me going on the rest of my life like I have the last half a century with everything being negative, and I used to make negative out of positive. I didn't need God. I really didn't need a relationship, so so I thought, although I found out since then I am addicted to relationships as well as I am to alcohol and who knows what else. But it's just great. And another thing, and I'm probably kind of jumping around here or losing my train of thought because I don't want to run over, because I do have a tendency to talk a little bit too much when I get going, and I probably ramble a lot. But you know, you hear a lot, and just especially for newcomers like myself, you hear so often from these rooms that keep coming back, it gets better, you know, and a lot of it sounds, for a long, long time, sound like bull crap, you know, and how could something so simple work, and how could it, you know, be so easy, and so on and so forth. Well, I found out over the last, whatever, 8, 9, 10 months, whatever it's been, that in spite of me, things are getting better. They are getting easier. They're getting, I want to say, gooder. They're just getting great, you know. And you hear that a lot up here. Nothing's really changing. I'm not really doing anything different. And that's the amazing part. The amazing part is, and being totally honest, I'm not doing anything different than I did before, except I think I have a different attitude now. I have a different feeling of honesty. I have this attitude that if I continue to do the right things are going to happen. And all these stupid little things, these sayings that and slogans that we hear in AA and we read so often, that for the most part go over our heads or don't really register or sink in or what have you, in my case anyways, they're finally starting to take some effect in my life and in my thinking. And that's the other thing, is that I realize now more than ever that whether you call it a drinking problem or a problem with drinking, it doesn't matter, like I said earlier, but I realize that it is just a symptom. My alcoholism is just a symptom of an underlying problem. And I know a lot of my underlying problems were and still are my insecurities and my inferiority complexes from, like I said, stemming back from my childhood, I believe. But nowadays it's different. You know, I don't need to have alcohol to make me feel like I fit in and that I can get up here. And I used to make an asshole of myself, I remember, and maybe I am today, I hope not, but I remember a lot of times that I used to be like on the credit union committee, you know, and we'd have a credit union anniversary and a dance and dinner, and I might be the secretary at the time or a treasurer or whatever, and I would have to do some podium speaking. And I can remember standing up here, you know, drunk as a skunk. And one time I remember at the Eagles Club on West 8th Street, standing, and there was a power failure, and somebody rigged up a flashlight, and I couldn't even see. Back then I could, my eyes were better, and I could even read, even with a little bit of light. But I shouldn't even been up there, first of all. I shouldn't have been trying to read under the lighting conditions, and nobody out there gave a shit anyways. But I had to be up here because I had to prove and show you people that I was important, you know, that I had a position in this committee and as part of the doings for that day and what have you. Well, I don't have to feel like that anymore, and I don't need alcohol to make me feel that way. I feel that God and Alcoholics Anonymous has given me everything that I need today to do the things that are best for Ray. And without, I guess, really going on and not saying anything of any significance, I kind of probably like to conclude very shortly. But I know there's something that I probably... something else that I'm omitting that I should to say. I guess it would be appropriate right now for me to say, talking about last winter, going through a divorce, having my slip, and thank God for the first 19 months in the program, because even though maybe I wasn't doing all the right things, I must have been doing enough that when I had my slip, I was able to stop drinking after a couple days without any help except from my higher power. I was able to stop my drinking at that time and walk right back into these rooms and pick up where I had left off. And not only God and you people, but the drop-in center and all those people that were there at the time were very instrumental in saving my sanity at the time. Saving my sanity in the respect that I lived at the drop-in center, I lived at the Elkanon Club, and I literally ran from meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting. Sometimes I attended 2, 3. I think Paul and I, on the same day, hit 4 meetings in one day. And it was very critical for me to do that at the time. Even though I thought that I had my shit together the first 19 months, and excuse my language, but I hope that's as bad as it ever gets. Even though I thought I really had things together the first 19 months, these last months since November, last November, were very, very crucial in the way my life is today. And I'd like to thank again the people at the drop-in center, Paul and his wife Helen, and Bob and his wife Flo, and a ton of other people, Ron, just a lot of people out there that helped me. And again, it wasn't at the time that I was so afraid of continuing my drinking, is that I was afraid I was going to lose my mind, like I had come so close to many, many other times later on in my progression, you know. And the drop-in center, like I said, Alcoholics Anonymous, and all the people in those rooms and in these rooms helped me again in my God to be able to stand up here today and be grateful, and be grateful. And I didn't think that I could ever be grateful for not drinking and not being like I always was for 30 years. Well, for 30 years, I guess, now that I look back on it, I'm grateful for what it took for me to get here, and I'm naturally more grateful for what happened and for where I am today. And I got a lot of people to thank, and I just have gratitude I never thought I'd be able to be grateful for, you know. And again, I don't want to continue to sound like I'm just trying to fill the time up with words that don't mean anything, but these words do mean a lot to me. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, they're my life, what I have just said, and you people out there are my life, and I want to thank you all for being here today, and God bless you all.